No more death. And there was one other thing I was going to bring up. The restitution of all things. Some people believe that that God is not going to torment people forever and ever, but the torment is referenced to some sort of cleansing. And I guess in that sense, they would say, you know, they would have a good argument to say, well, then there's no more death because everyone lives forever. And I've listened to people who have had very strong feelings about this. But I do pretty much discount it because I don't think it goes into line with the spirit of the scriptures and the spirit of judgment in the scriptures and the seriousness of everything. Also, there's a scripture in Peter, I believe. 2 Peter 2:12 says, "But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." A lot of times they talk about the things that are being destroyed or is the corrupt nature being removed and they're being cleansed. But this passage, I found the one that I looked at their ideas and I considered it because I thought, well, if you look at it that way, I mean, sure, I mean, it's got a philosophical beauty to it. It's got a lot of appeal, right? Because man wants God to be gracious to everybody. And I certainly know I don't deserve the grace of God, and so it definitely makes me more comfortable to think that God's going to be gracious to everybody. I'd like to go forth and proclaim that great news. But this verse in 2 Peter 2:12 indicates that they will perish in their corruption, not they'd be delivered from their corruption, their corrupt nature being destroyed, but these become that way. They perish in their corruption. They do not have it cleansed from them. I think that verse especially. But there's more to it than that. As I just mentioned, people want God to be gracious to everybody. Well, there's a parable about that. The parable of the workers of the field. And that's the one I refer to frequently to say that God's not fair. He isn't gracious to everybody. Some people just get what they deserve. And when people fail to understand that even if we should just live and die in this life, that is already more than we deserve. Because we were nothing. We were taken from nothing and deserve nothing. I know that before I was born, I remember when I was young, I would look into the blackness that was before I was. I could look and see it clearly because I had such a short life. I've seen some of my more meditative children also look back into that and sort of fear. We can't remember. I can look back at that and know I came from nowhere. I was nothing. God breathed the breath of life. He puts the spirit in man, and man becomes something from nothing. And we don't deserve to be anything. It's like I often say, I could have had a twin brother. I could have had two twin brothers. I could have been triplets. I wasn't. Twins are very interesting studies, but one thing's for sure, they are separate conscious beings. So you can see that it does not take much to make another being. And at some point, for those who believe in the restitution of all things, I would say, well then, all these people who have done wickedly, and I guess wickedly is sort of like, yeah, God's being gracious to me. So God should just be gracious to those who have lived. What about those who have never lived? Don't they deserve some grace too? They're possible people. And what I'm saying is, philosophically, it still becomes the same thing. God is only gracious to some. And since he's gracious to some only, and not to all that could be, all that he could be gracious to, all to whom who deserve no favor, then I think it weakens the position of all things being restored and all people being saved, because God intends to make them examples. It isn't as shiny and beautiful as it seems, because it's still very exclusive. It's excluding all kinds of people who are merely possibilities, but no less real from God's perspective. Anything that could be, he could make. But he doesn't choose to make everything. And he does not choose to give grace to all. I suppose some people might think he would or could or did, or I don't know. But I think based on what's revealed in the scripture, I believe that the death spoken of, the second death, indicates a finality, an end. And the subject of the second death is not bad natures. It's whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Moving on. Having covered that, touched on it. Because that's out there. That's an idea. Verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. The things we've just read, you know, hey, there's going to be no more pain. Hey, there's going to be no more crying. Hey, there's going to be, it's a true and faithful saying. God is going to be faithful to that. I simply cannot imagine it based on everything I know in the scriptures, everything I've learned, everything I believe about the justice of God. Yes, there are some scriptures that are somewhat suggestive of a very severe punishment. And I think death is very severe, especially when you know that eternal life is a possibility. Right now, man has an interesting sort of psychological thing. We know we shall die, but we don't really live with it. Even people who go to execution, our minds have these safety sort of features that allow us to sort of disconnect from reality sometimes, to sort of be able to endure very difficult things. Just like the body releases chemicals when we're in intense pain that causes the pain to be numbed or us to go black out. I think that's why when Christ was in Gethsemane, he felt such intense pressure when it came to the crucifixion, because he knew better than anyone what he was about to suffer. He went to it knowingly. You know, this is with a very clear idea of what he would suffer, and he had a reaction. He sweated, as it were, great drops of blood. There's torment. And that's in the face of death. And so I think that death itself is sufficient punishment to lose out and to know what you're losing out and to know you're about to die. To know it more than you've ever known it as a human being. And to know it more clearly. It is very stark. It is not anything to be taken lightly. Especially when you consider the alternative, life eternal.